Welcome to Gold Soul, where empowered parenthood and conscious living meet. I'm Jessie, a licensed home birth midwife, here to explore birth, parenting, and personal growth. Through real stories, reflections, and chats with holistic experts, we'll uncover fresh insights, heartfelt support, and a bit of humor. Let's laugh, learn, and grow together through the beauty and challenges life brings.
Hello, we are back today with my friend Ashley. As those of you that work with me, you know Ashley as my amazing back office virtual assistant. I could not run Gold Soul without Ashley, and she's my right-hand gal. And so we thought it would be wonderful to have an episode together where we kind of talk about what is it that Ashley does and how it's so beneficial to midwives, to doulas, to birth workers, and how essential it is to have someone like Ashley on your team, and in turn, how it helps all of our clients. It's really funny because so many times when people get introduced to Ashley via email, usually in the beginning, they think that Ashley works in office with me. So they're always like, oh, see you guys soon. And her and I kind of giggle like, yeah, they'll figure it out. So for those of you that have known Ashley and you have never seen her gorgeous face, here is a face to the name. So Ashley, thank you for being here. And to start, why don't you tell us a little bit about your backstory?
Yeah, that is one thing that makes me really sad, is missing the face-to-face with all the clients and everything. That was what I loved so much when I started this work in the birth world, is seeing the families and then seeing them have their new baby and come back for multiple babies. It was so special. So I do miss that part a lot, but being able to stay home and doing it virtually has allowed me to be with my son. So it's definitely been a blessing. I got started literally from watching The Business of Being Born. Like, that just sparked it. It was on Netflix. I was 20. Oh, how old was I then? I don't even know. Early 20s. And I was just amazed that birth could actually be beautiful and something you love and nothing to fear, because I was terrified my whole life. I just thought birth was very scary and I wanted nothing to do with it, honestly. I always thought, oh, like C-section. Yeah, so easy. Just do it that way. And so watching that movie really was like eye-opening. And it just, I did a deep dive. I let my just interest go into birth. And I just started looking up like local birth centers, everything like that. I never thought I would do home birth right away. Like, that seemed a little too far to the other side. But I definitely just researched birth center and water birth. I really liked the idea of that. And that led me to finding South Coast Midwifery. And I just reached out to them just asking if they had any, you know, jobs open or anything like that. Because at the time I was just working as a server in a restaurant. So nothing I was really like interested in doing, but just a job. And they didn't have anything at the moment. But like months later, they emailed me back like, oh, we have a front office opening, which is where I just sit at the front desk. I do all the scheduling, all the calls. Like, I'm the first face you see when you come in. And so I started working there. I ended up working there for 7 years, I believe, by the end. I never planned on leaving, but I did get surprise pregnant. And I had Jack, which was so amazing. But while I was working there, I got to meet so many midwives, so many student midwives, which is how I met you. You were finishing up, I believe, your midwifery student, like your baby catching and everything like that. So you weren't there too long, which made me sad. But I just loved you right away. And I felt a connection and a friendship. And so after you left and you graduated and you started your own practice, was around the same time that I had left South Coast to be full-time stay-at-home mom with my baby. And I just needed to work in some capacity, but still really wanted to be home with Jack. And I wasn't able to go like full time back to work. And you and I just started brainstorming that you starting your practice, there's so much extra work that goes into it other than just catching babies and doing prenatal visits. And it's a business too. And so there's just so much behind the scenes that a lot of people don't realize. starting a business is a lot of work. It's a lot of time, commitment, money, like everything. And so having your own family as well, balancing that is hard for anyone. But I feel like midwives especially, because they're so invested in what they do. And every client that you guys see, a part of you is with them, and you really do have a bond with them that's unlike any other type of provider I've seen before, which is why I loved it so much. So after talking about it with you, about all the help you could use, we realized that I could help you with that. And so even just on a one-on-one, we started just talking like how that would look like and how I could help you and, you know, what kind of business side it looked like for me as well. I've never had any other kind of business to myself or had to value myself or price myself, which was very hard for me because I feel like we talked about it and we were like, well, no one, there's virtual assistants, but no one specific to this. And so we had to brainstorm back and forth, like, how is this going to look? Is it going to be per client? Is it going to be, you know, all those kinds of things. So the amount of help that you gave me starting my own business too was just like, without you, it wouldn't have happened. And so I had your faith and your like just readiness to be like, yes, please, like, let's make this happen, which was so perfect. So it allowed me now to 3.5 years later. Yeah, he's 3.5. I've been with you pretty much the whole time. And so you started that. And then as I got comfortable with like what we were doing, after a few months, I took on one of your fellow friend midwives as well. She needed a little extra help. And I have about 6 midwives I help right now, and they've all been referral. They've all been word of mouth. It's one midwife telling, you know, your friend, your fellow, your, you know, cohort, what you have help with. And that has been phenomenal. Just having like referral based clients is so, so wonderful just to get that. And you guys are all so lovely. And you're also different too, which I appreciate. Like, you're all midwives, but you all practice differently and you all have your own flow and your own, you know, personality that goes along with it. So I am just so blessed that I have been able to stay at home and make this work. And that's thankful to you.
That's amazing. I love hearing your side of, you know, how all of it unfolded. Because for me, excuse me, I was just so excited that it was even a possibility when we first started speaking about it. Because same thing, like, I loved you from the moment I met you. And I knew how demanding working in a birth center as a mom is in general. And you are such an asset, and you were such an asset to the birth center. But it pulls at your mama heart when, you know, you're having to decide, oh my gosh, am I going to have to step away from caring for my baby just to go to work to then pay for someone else to care for my baby, you know? So it's kind of that juggle. And I went through that with my first for a few months before I stepped away from the corporate world. But watching this kind of idea unfold together, it was just like this moment of like, well, Ashley, you have such a skill set that us as midwives, the majority of us, don't like to do that work and struggle to do it in a timely fashion, because as you touched on and we're going to go into deeper, the requirements of running a practice, aside from the business stuff, but just for running a midwifery practice as a sole practitioner, it is so much, because you've got, you know, the nature of our work being pretty time sensitive. If someone has a concern, they need to get a hold of you right away. You need to take care of that. You need to go to a birth at the drop of a hat. You need to do those postpartum visits. And then all the in-between back office stuff, submitting and uploading labs and updating charts and birth certificate paperwork and all of it is so daunting that – and it's important work, but it's less urgent as answering that phone call and getting to a birth. You know what I mean? So it's like one of those things of, oh my gosh, if I could duplicate myself, wait a second. I can, you know, I can for these things. And Yeah, yes. I always loved how you worked at the birth center because you have this perfect mix of extreme professionalism, so friendly, but like you can also be a little bit of a bulldog, you know, like you're pretty prompt. And, you know, I appreciated you being a rule follower because I am as well. And, you know, so I loved that that mixture of your personality. And for me professionally, that's exactly what I wanted. You know, it was just a perfect balance. And so when we had that conversation, it was like, oh my gosh, you're actually into this. Okay, cool. And you could do this for so many other midwives too. You know, however many you want to put onto your plate, you could be able to help in this regard. So that was so exciting. And as, you know, the years have gone, it's, you know, you're like an extension of me. Like that's, there is no way I could, like I said, run my business without you. And I do know there are some other virtual assistants that aid in this type of capacity, or if there's midwives that are wanting to step away from midwifery work and they know the back office stuff really well, you know, they offer their services to currently practicing midwives. But it's just different. It's just different having you, and I could not do this without you specifically. So I'm so grateful. And yeah, maybe one day it'll get to a place where you can actually be in office one day with me. But I love all the ways too in the past couple few years where we have brainstormed other ways to, you know, help me professionally and how we've gotten creative together. But for those that don't know, what does it all entail? What does it all involve? What are all the things you do, not just for me, but for your other midwives as well?
Yeah, I mostly have midwife clients that are like continuous clients. So they're my clients. Every time they get a new client, it like just keeps our process going and going. I've also helped a few doulas and like other birth workers, childbirth educators, things like that. In that capacity, it's more like one-time little things that they need help with, because I feel like in general, most of it, I mean, it's 99% women that I'm, you know, helping, and fellow moms, a lot of fellow moms. Some of them aren't moms in their own way, but they definitely become, I feel like, in a motherly role with their birth families and things like that. They do take on that role with them. But they're just not very tech savvy, a lot of them. I feel like they are so, so blessed with like their interpersonal communication and their connections and the way they are with their people, that other kind of stuff, they're just like, I have no desire. It is like, for some reason, whenever I touch technology, it just like does its own thing. Like, I don't know what to do. So I was able to help them with just little things, like even just making their documents for their classes or their referral lists, like super simple things for me to do to help because I know how to do them. But for them was so daunting. And they're like, I don't know how to make this look cute. Like, it's just this very ugly Word document. And I'm like, oh, I can make it cute. Don't worry. So I help some other birth workers in that sense. But for my midwife specifically, it's just an ongoing process. So once I take a midwife on, which I don't take on too many because I don't want to overwhelm myself. And I want to make sure that I'm readily available for whatever you guys need as well and not like overdoing it. Since Jack started preschool, that's been a huge help because I have more of like a set schedule. Because before I would work in the middle of the night, which I know you guys do too. Like I would be on my computer while he's sleeping, like trying to get my work done. So this new consistent schedule is super helpful, but it's everything that you guys don't want to do, honestly. It's calling on records that we've been requesting for weeks or months, or we finally got them and they're only partial records. And so that kind of follow up. Some of the easy back and forth with clients, like I'm emailing them all the time about just little tiny things that sometimes they feel they're burdening you, like emailing you, asking these questions. They're like, oh, I have a question, but I really don't want to bother her. Like, I know she's busy. And so they just shoot it to me. They feel more comfortable with those very like menial, tedious things to just shoot me a quick email. Cause they don't feel like they're bothering, you know, you guys when you're doing important stuff, especially if you're at a birth or something like that. So I can answer simple questions as in like when their disability is coming up, like state disability, what they're eligible for through the state, like things like that. Once baby's born, I help complete all the birth certificate paperwork, have it all filled out, send them the like how to go get it done and things like that. So if they have any questions, they can just email me real quick or I can help clear up anything they might need clarification with. A uploading lab, so like the back office part of it. Whenever, you know, if mamas have been to, you know, a normal doctor's visit, they know that there's always the nurse that takes their blood pressure and, you know, enters in all their information. So I don't take the blood pressure, obviously, I'm not there in the office, but I enter in all that information into their chart from their labs to their ultrasounds. So you have it all there when you're ready to see them for their appointment. The client care or whatever EMR system the midwives are using is so helpful to the clients as well because it gives them access to their records like in real time, which is so nice. I know a lot of moms like really appreciate having that like right at their fingertips. They don't have to like wonder, you know, what their labs were. They don't have to ask for a bunch of stuff and jump through a bunch of hoops like they kind of do through a normal provider. And we also do prepping for the home birth. You have like all those lists that you give them and everything like that. So having that portal, everything's in there for them. So they can see like, oh, I can get started on my birth prep like right now. So all that information they have access to, which is so great. They can also just reach out with a simple like billing question if they, because insurance is so confusing. I hate insurance. You hate insurance. Mm-hmm. We all do not like insurance. And I know midwives especially, like it's their least favorite topic because it's so confusing. And even working in it in, you know, 7+ years, it's still not as like straightforward as you would hope it would be. So I don't do necessarily the straight billing to insurance or anything like that, but I can help answer those super general questions that moms have, you know, like, how does it work? You know, how do you send the money to them? How do I get money back possibly? Like, how do I find out how much money I might get back? Like, I can answer those general questions for them. And then we have, you know, another gal, like your actual biller that we can refer them to for more specific questions of actual like amounts and numbers and everything like that. But I'd say those are like the things people know that we do on the back end of things. But there's so many things that, you know, they don't even realize, like all the, you have to prep all your supplies for births. You have to order all those supplies. We have to order the lab supplies, so like all the tubes, everything like that. For your office, like you give them those little goodie bags, so we like order, you know, some of those samples and stuff like that. So there's so much extra little tiny things that, like you said, just get pushed to the back burner. So it's like you have dire things, you have important things, and then you have all these things that are kind of like, I'll get to it someday, but more dire things keep popping up, so you'll never get to those things. So it's just really nice to have that double check too, which I try to be for you, which is, you know, like your second brain, like things that have kind of like, you're like, I don't have to think about that right now because someone else is on top of it. So those like running lists of things that we just have to keep on top of. And it's so nice that we're also double checking for each other because like we'll check in like, hey, did we ever follow up on that one thing and be like, oh yeah, we did. Okay, great. That's great. Just having that accountability of one other person for my brain is so helpful.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that a lot of midwives, you know, our overhead as midwives in general, people don't realize, you know, it can get pretty up there depending on how we run our practice. You know, when it comes to having a second hand as an assistant at the birth, you know, having to have other midwives potentially back on call for us. There's a lot of different elements of it. So I can see how some midwives, while they see the value in your service, you know, that can feel like, oh gosh, one more thing. Do I really need that? And I can say in experience of having you and the ease that it's brought me, but also just how much more effective it has made my practice, my clients feel that. And obviously, unless they've had another midwife who hasn't had an Ashley, they don't know the difference. But we know the difference, right? Because one thing I tell families when they are hiring a community-based provider who is in solo practice. She's not in a shared, you know, practice, which there's only a couple shared practices locally. One of the downsides compared to having a birth center or, you know, a hospital-based provider is that you have, it's just that person. So things are going to go a little slower. You know, I might not be as quick to get, you know, back to you in regards to a question. You know, there's not, it tends to go just a little bit slower in regards to communication. We are probably going to have to reschedule at least one appointment because I'll probably get called to a birth. You know, those kind of things happen. But we make up for it with the quality of care we provide. There is not a single visit before 36 weeks that is less than an hour in my office. You know, it's, we go so in depth. You usually don't have to wait too long and you're not rushed. And, you know, it's, we're spending that time building that relationship, so that quality of care. But when you've got someone like Ashley, it makes the downside even less of a downside, right? Because like we've talked about, you are fielding some of those things. So I tell everyone, any medical related question, you know, that obviously comes to me. That's within my scope. But you need a letter to fly. You need a letter for a dentist appointment, whatever it may be. Any of those non-medical things, Ashley's your gal and she's going to get to you way faster than I would. And so I think that, you know, there's that benefit of helping a practice just move a little bit more smoothly. And like you said, for the clients, knowing that they've got multiple point people, you know, and they're really well covered. So it's just been so awesome to have that. And I think, you know, there's been a couple clients that I have had, and I'm sure with your other midwives as well, that you might have previously crossed paths with, where they've gotten excited, like, I know Ashley. And, you know, it's like kind of that extra layer of community and kind of going back to how you even ended up here. It's really special when you're a community-based provider and then you're also like building community within your practice, within the people that, you know, you're not employing, but that are working alongside you. You know, it's supporting each other, you know, you wanting to work from home, brainstorming with another mom. I just did that with a client recently who's due to go back to work here soon and just devastated. And she does not want to. And I don't want her to, you know, I know that struggle and we're brainstorming on things that she can do, you know, and there's just something about that women, moms, supporting moms, you know, that I think is just so cool and empowering. So, yeah, I love that. And there is so much that people don't realize, you know, us as on-call moms and wives and birth workers and partners that we go through. Tatiana, dear friend of mine, midwife, you know, she did a post, or maybe it was an Instagram story, I think like a year ago. And she was going on about all of the things that we get pulled away from and that, you know, we sacrifice in order to do this work. And, you know, it's this fine line of, well, you know, yes, we understand that this is what we stepped into, that we're, you know, we know that, that that's what we're sacrificing, but it doesn't make it any easier, an easier pill to swallow. You know, I've missed children's birthdays. I've missed major holidays. I've missed weddings. I've missed my own anniversaries. You know, we sacrifice so much. And whatever we can do to lessen that load, like having someone like you, I think is just so key.
Yeah. It's the sacrifices that you guys do on a daily basis, not to mention like a lifetime basis, is insane. Like, it's just, it's something that I can't even, working right alongside you, comprehend. And what is nice about my position inside helping you is I do have structured, you know, I might be working in the middle of the night, but that's my choice. And it's still structured to where I have off time. I'm, you know, I'm just here to get my work done and I get it done within whatever hours I need to get it done in. There are certain things where like I have to call places during business hours type of thing. But for the most part, I am my own boss when it comes to like my time. And so I am still able to pick up my son at school every day on time, you know, be there for all the holidays, birthdays, everything like that. Let you guys know, like, hey, you know, this day we're going to go to Disneyland. So I'm not going to be available for like quick responses and stuff like that, which is such a blessing because as soon as I got into this this world of the birth world and birth workers, the amount of sacrifice you guys have to do is just, it has to be a calling, because you wouldn't do it if it wasn't. Like, there's just, you could make all the money in the world, and even you guys don't make enough, but you could make all the money in the world and it still wouldn't, you know, justify everything, because it's not just what's you're missing, it's your kids are also missing their mom during those moments, which is, you know, you can explain it. Yeah, mommy has to work, mommy has to go help a baby, but, you know, it's still sad for them in that moment. And as they get older, they definitely understand. But you guys just put so much of yourself into your work. And that's why I just wanted to do whatever I could to try to like help you guys too. So it was a mutual thing. It was like me creating a job for myself, but at the same time, helping people that really do need the help. And the amount of sleep you guys sacrifice, your like, just, I even just working at restaurants and bars late at night, that messed with my sleep and my eating and my health so much. Yours isn't even predictable like that. Like, you don't even have a set like night schedule. Your rhythms and all that are just so off, and you're literally working like, you know, doctors for 12, 24, 48 hours at a time. You're away from your families. You're actively working and resting in between that, but not really resting, like not good rest. I just applaud you guys, all the midwives, all the birth workers. Like, I don't think enough credit is really given, because I couldn't do it. As soon as I got into this field of work, everyone's like, oh, do you want to be a midwife? And I'm like, no, I do not. Like, I cannot. It's just not, it's not for me, because I couldn't, the amount of dedication it takes and the amount of like responsibility. You guys are responsible for, you know, at least two little humans, you know, mom and baby. And it's just so much like emotional, everything that it takes out of you, not to mention the physical. I could never do it. And it's because I respect it so much.
Thank you so much. Like, that is so validating, coming from someone who isn't actually in the throes of it, because it is a conversation amongst birth workers all the time, is like, no one gets it. no one gets exactly what we do. And all healthcare providers, first responders, you know, they understand it to a degree, but there is something different about community-based work like this, because it's not just a, oh, I haven't felt baby move in 6 hours, is this normal? It's also the emotional stuff. Like, we are a vessel and we're holding like things that might not even be just pregnancy related. I can't tell you how many times I've held someone through a traumatic event in their pregnancy because I'm their midwife. And so we have this connection, right? So that's not something that I can tell my kids, like, I can't explain to them why I'm getting called away to take this phone call, even if I'm not going to a birth. You know, it's just, there's so much to it. And I think that that is a big reason why birth workers tend to travel in packs. Like, we keep our social circles pretty close to others that are similarly lined in work. And I think that that's probably common for anyone that has a profession that, you know, is all encompassing in its own degree. But even family sometimes really struggles to understand like why I can't fully commit to something, or I've got to stay at a certain like mile radius, or me and my family have to take separate cars to an event because I'm on call and I might get called and I've got to have like 300 pounds of equipment, you know, on hand, ready to go. And with that being said, you know, it's so nice to have someone, because I've got, you know, we call each other midwife sisters, right? Or birth worker sisters. I've got my besties that are or used to be birth workers, and they get it, right? And so I can, you know, decompress with them. But it's different when it's someone who, even though you haven't met those clients in person, you know their story. So if there was a transfer or if there was a loss, you know, it feels comfortable enough to, and also not violating HIPAA, you know, to kind of just have you there to help me, you know, because we carry those things too. Like that's so heavy on our hearts when things don't go according to plan, or to celebrate the good things. Like recently, you know, how the process with Ashley and I works after your baby's born is usually if it's at any hour of the night, depending, I'll either email her or I'll send her a text. Oh, so-and-so had their baby. Can you please prepare birth work or birth certificate paperwork? Because it needs to be done in a time-sensitive manner because I have to take it with me to the postpartum visit, which is performed in the first 48 hours. So I'm letting her know. And then it's always funny because she'll go, I know she'll go and see the charts because she's got to look for certain, you know, codes to put on the paperwork. And so she'll review the chart and then she'll, you know, we'll have these like sidebar conversations, another precipitous birth and X, Y, and Z. And, you know, it's like being able to talk about, you know, these births together, it helps me. Or on the other side, it's been very helpful to have you help me navigate certain, you know, communication breakdowns that occur sometimes, you know, in practice, and being able to have that person to just hold my hand along that, alongside those things. I can't tell you how helpful that has been for me, going back to how much I've always valued your professionalism, because I'm an emotional person and I'm always like, oh my gosh, is someone mad at me because I had to reschedule? And Ashley, how do I phrase this email? And it's been so helpful to have you. And I know that, you know, my clients that have, you know, been able to have more communication with you in practice, they feel supported by you as well. And it's just so awesome to have. And I think that every midwife should have an Ashley. I think even when I used to be a doula running the doula agency, having, you know, known that there was a person that can, you know, be helpful in these situations, in their own form, obviously, because it's a little different as a doula versus a midwife. But it's such an awesome service that you provide both, you know, clients as well as the professionals.
Yeah, one of my, I feel to that like being emotional in the moment. So when it's you and one other person, you're always emotionally invested in that, and you, it's like when you read a text message and you're like, you read it completely differently than the way the person sent it. They're like, I wasn't mad, like, but you read it with anger. So it's that miscommunication aspect, which we have a lot with technology now. And two, just having that extra little bit of space, like just that third party removed. So I am also emotional when it comes to like, if I'm the person talking with someone, but being able to be like briefed in the situation, knowing both parties and being like, oh no, like we'll just, you know, we'll word it this way. This sounds better, you know, because it's, you can get the point across, but sometimes the delivery is needing a little, you know, a little fluff or something, just to be a little more friendly. Or yeah, if you get a message and you're like, oh, is this person upset with me? Then I'm like, I don't know, I'll find out. Like, let's see what's going on. So there is so nice to having that buffer person in your life, professionally and personally. It's just so nice to have that, like, or, you know, building off someone, be like, they said this, I said this. What do you think? And I'll be like, oh, I think it was a miscommunication. I don't think anyone's mad at anybody, you know? Or like, ooh, yeah, that does seem a little iffy. I don't know. So having that extra person there as the buffer is, I mean, professionally and personally, like, it's just, you're just like, hey, can you just help me with this? Can you, you know, talk to this person for me just cause I don't know. I feel like they're upset and I don't know why. So that is so helpful for anybody. And that's kind of a blessing with technology, but it's a curse as well. It's like, you don't have to do all the face-to-face things or, but sometimes it does get a little, like, you read between the lines and nothing's there. And for me, I always laugh because all of my midwife clients, it goes back to like where technology usually isn't their thing most of the time, but all of you, regardless, you love to talk on the phone versus like texting or emailing. That was something I found out. I didn't even know what a voice memo was or like a voice text until I started working with you guys. Because I was like, wait, they sent me it. And I would like listen to it. And I was like, oh, okay. And then you had me download Marco Polo. It is just so funny that all of my midwives, they just like to talk versus write. And it took me so long to realize like, oh, okay. Because they're like, there's different people like Mark, my boyfriend. He is a talker thinker, and it honestly drives me nuts sometimes because I'm like, think in your head, like just shh. Because I'm trying to think and I'm thinking in my head silently. And his talking is just like, I can't think if you're talking at me. So it's definitely a different like way your brain works is you just got to talk it through or talk it out. Or, you know, it's an emotional release, like just talking it through makes you feel better. But I'm the opposite. I'm a writer. I am like, I'll type it out, I'll write it out, I'll delete it 5 times, I'll like rework it. So that's just how my brain works. So it's good to have like both sides, because then we both, you know, get different sides. But that was something I found all of you guys send me voice memos and voice, and I'm just like, oh, but then I have to like go back and save it because otherwise I don't have like, it like disappears, and I didn't know that was a thing either. And I was like, where did it go? And then so I had to like write myself a note like, okay, do this, like, because the voice memo, if I didn't click like save, it would disappear. So that took me a while too, but it's just very funny.
That's hilarious. That's so funny because it's like when it comes with client communication, I do prefer it to be in, you know, in writing. Also, because of time, I've got 4 kids. We're homeschooling. I'm here. I'm there. I'm here. I'm there. It's I can't take phone calls and promise that I'm going to be able to hear someone or there's not going to be a screaming kid behind me, right? So when it comes to client communication, and also I need to be able to read, digest, and then respond. But yeah, when it comes to me needing to like get my thoughts out, it's always a Marco Polo, a voice text. Can you talk to me just really quick on the phone? And I can see how annoying that can become, especially when you've got 6 midwives all hitting you with that. I think that is hilarious because even amongst us midwives, when we talk together, like my more one-on-one relationships, it's the same way. We're Marco Poloing, which for those of you that don't know what Marco Polo is, you're welcome. Everyone who knows me knows I'm such a fan. I need to like get a sponsorship from Marco Polo, I swear. It's like my best thing. It has saved so many relationships in my life. But it was actually another midwife introduced voice memos to me in school. And she loved that. And same thing. I was like, what is this? And I was like, oh, this is great. Something about just rambling. I guess midwives are naturally really good at it. Maybe because like we're constantly reading things, you know, and we're constantly having clients, you know, again, reading or sending us emails, you know, messages, whatever, that it's just, you know, we have to get it out that way. But I'm curious for you, having to navigate so many different relationships and communications, whether it be with your midwife clients, your birth worker clients, and then the actual client slash patients themselves. What's the hardest part of juggling all of that and adapting to, as you said, we all work a little bit differently and our personalities are very different. What's that like for you? How hard is that?
So I wouldn't say it was hard, but it was a learning curve for sure. Like it was, because like you said, everybody is so different. And so their practice is a reflection of them. And so it's learning, you know, what works for them and the way they do things and things like that. So with you starting off the bat, it was easy because you're just the first one. So I'm just learning as I'm going anyways. But every midwife has their different like priority or their different like aspect of their work that's like the thing that they care about the most or the thing that they stress about the most or the thing that they struggle with the most. And so that's part of like when I do my initial like consultation, I ask them like, what is the hardest part of your job right now? Like, obviously I can't get you more sleep. I can't get, you know, like those things, but the things I can actually help with. What causes you the most stress? What do you dread doing? What's the thing that keeps getting put on the back burner? Like everything like that. And each one of you, it's slightly different. So I just make sure that once I learn what that core area is, that that's my main focus. And I do all the other stuff too, but that main focus is like what I prioritize on like a weekly basis for you. So for example, if your hardest thing is keeping up with like requesting records from previous providers and like inputting that all into the chart, it's literally hundreds of pages of sometimes stuff we don't need.
Especially like Kaiser. I know I said wasn't going to interrupt, but I have to. So do you remember there was a client I had, I think 2 years ago, and she had been a patient with Kaiser she was a young mom. Pediatrics. I think she was, yes.
Pediatric.
Do you remember when we requested those records and it dated back until she was like 12 years old?
Yeah, it was like a broken arm when she was 12. And I was like, that is not what I requested records
for. Everything that she had ever not just stepped foot into Kaiser, but called Kaiser for was in this chart that they faxed us. Poor Ashley had to go through over 1,000 pages.
It was over 1,000.
Of information just to get like the 5 pages that was relevant to any prenatal care she had previously.
That is still my record. So I'm glad that that's still my record. But it was ridiculous. Like my eyes were just blurring at some point. So I was just like, because at some point you just scan and you're looking at just dates or you're looking at like, but they're not even all Kaiser. Usually they have like an outline on the side that you can open sometimes so you can go by dates. Not always the case though. It depends on how they send them. I don't know what the difference is, but this was not one of those cases. So I had to actually go through and like just find dates. And you would think it's all very clearly in order, but it's not. It's like all over the place. And yeah, found out she broke her arm when she was 12. Like, and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, but then there's other times where they don't even send the stuff we ask for. So it's so hit or miss. And it's literally hundreds of pages every time. Kaiser is definitely the worst with how many they send. But it's every time it's at least 100 pages and you need maybe 15 of those actual pages for like adding to their chart where it's lab work, ultrasounds, like important visit notes, like stuff like that. So that is a big one for a lot of midwives, just like the daunting task of sitting and going through it all, then having to enter it. If anything's missing, re-requesting, like, and then following up on that process because it takes them weeks, sometimes months. Recently, San Diego area, a few of my midwives are down there and Sharp was like backlogged. So their records, I followed up with them like 3 or 4 times. It was taking like 2 months or plus to get records. And I was like, hey, you guys actually say it should take 10 business days. So just FYI, like you need to get it together. And some of these moms were in like their third trimester. And I'm like, I've already requested 3 times. Like I've left a voicemail. They don't even answer their phones anymore. They're like, just leave a voicemail. Like we're not talking to you. So it's like, that's a big one for a lot of them. Sometimes it's money is such a sensitive topic and it's so hard when you're your own business, because especially in a business that involves such personal care, it is so hard to just be like, oh, remember to make your payment, you know, like, and things like that. And some people have financial struggles, which we all do. But the hardest part about that is you guys are sometimes the main breadwinners in your family because your partner needs to stay home to watch your kids if you have kids, because you are gone at all hours of the night. So having your business be the primary income for your family, like those payments are actually important, you know, to pay your own bills. We've talked about this before that, like, you know, when we have, you know, there's always ebbs and flows in like incoming new clients and stuff like that. And sometimes there'll be like a month where it's like, there's like nobody, you know, starting care. And then there's one month where like a few people start. So it's like, great. So, but it's not predictable. So it's very tough in those months that are kind of, you know, low to pay our bills. Cause it's not, you know, I don't have enough money to be like squirreling away stuff. So it's very like check to check in my situation, because, you know, it's not a huge business. Like I'm very contained because I can only handle so much and I don't want to, you know, overcommit to anything I can't handle and stuff like that. So having those moments of like making sure payments are being made on time, and for you having, you know, midwives never want to have that conversation, like if a payment's late or anything like that. And it's just nice to have me there as like a backup, like, hey, remember to make your appointment. You know, once you make your appointment, make your payment and everything like that. You know, we don't want to incur any late fees or anything like that. Like that's never the goal. It's just, we want to make sure, you know, we're all sticking to what we established and everything like that. And that's nice to have that kind of buffer person to have those awkward conversations. And also in helping set like boundaries too, which is something you are actually very good at. And I applaud because in my own life, it's so hard to set boundaries personally, professionally, anything like that, because it's awkward sometimes and you don't want to ever have awkward conversations. No one enjoys that. And so having boundaries and actually sticking to them with, you know, midwifery contracts and everything like that, it's all outlined, like, you know, not calling you in the middle of the night just because, you know, something little tiny happened, like, oh, you know, my arm kind of hurts. It's something that's like unrelated to pregnancy, not a warning sign. You know, you're not going to call your midwife at 2 a.m. to say, I stubbed my toe. Like, should I be worried? Things like that. Like, there's definitely boundaries that need to be set because, you know, your time, your space, everything needs to be respected as you're your own person too. You're their provider that's technically like a 24-hour provider, but you have your own life and you have other clients too, you know, that actually are in need of your, you know, your time at those hours.
Right. The boundaries thing, I'm real big on boundaries. I'm real big on clear communication and transparency. And one of the other many things that I've enjoyed having you is helping with the contracts, right? And yeah. I'm told all the time that I have more contracts and consent forms than most people. And so I tell everyone right out the gate, like, I apologize in advance. There is a lot, but it's important to me that you understand how this operation works. That way it can best, you know, suit all parties. And as mentioned, especially around the communication, I'm very crystal clear on that. But around the financial part, that is a tricky thing for every single midwife. And the sad truth is that when we accept direct payment and we don't accept insurance, we are relying on those payments, as you said, to support our family, to put food on the table, or to pay you, to pay my assistant that's coming to the birth with me, you know, who's relying on that income as well. And it is just this domino effect, right? And it's hard because we understand financial hardships. But at the same time, as much as I wish, and I am hopeful that one day we will have this be something that is more sustainable for everyone as well as more accessible to everyone. Because as midwives, we do understand it is a huge financial commitment. And we all have feelings about that. And, you know, we see on the boards as well, you know, the Facebook groups and whatever where people are, you know, complaining about the cost of home birth care. I get it. I understand. But at the same time, like, it's, you know, our education, our time, you know, on call, like you said, being a lot of us are single income families. How do we make it sustainable for everyone? So you can lower your fee and you can take double the amount of clients. But guess what? Then I'm probably going to miss your birth. You know, so it's like this weird line, you know, and this will be a conversation probably for another episode because it is a hot topic amongst families, amongst, you know, birth workers alike, amongst midwives. Inflation's amongst us. Everything around us is going up. Do you know, like, the cost of some of our meds have doubled, even tripled in the last 5 years? You know, these things that you are expecting us to carry, you know, and to keep you safe. So I understand that as well. But when someone's having a hardship and they're not communicating that to me and we don't have the opportunity to, you know, rearrange things in regards to the financial commitment and, you know, agreement, and then we start getting ghosted and it's like, okay, but I'm still expected to be on call and I'm still expected to pay my overhead, you know, and that's hard. That is so hard because I have to show up emotionally and physically, but then I'm now starting to get drained and I can't pay my bills or whatever it may be. So there, a client of mine who also runs her own business gave me the most beautiful recommendation last year. And that's when you and I changed how things operated, where she had said, like, because of the work you do, because she also is very emotionally involved with her clients, with the type of work she does. She had said, you cannot be in charge of the finances. Like you shouldn't even know about the finances, because that will in turn potentially have an impact on the relationship with your clients. And you don't want that to get tainted. And that's hard to compartmentalize. So you should, if you know, because she obviously knew that I had you because you're part of her care as well. You know, she had said, you need to just give her everything. And she's like, and with my assistant, we have like a two strike thing. So if something's happening more than twice and they hadn't, you know, taken care of what they needed to take care of with the assistant, then the assistant reaches out to her and says, hey, this is a situation. And then that's when you and I changed how things flowed in regards to the financial part. And that has been so helpful, not just for me stress-wise, but I think for the clients too, because I understand how if there's a financial concern, it's hard to talk about those things, especially with your midwife, you know? And so having that buffer for both patient and provider, that middleman, that billing office person, so to speak, I think has just like been such a game changer in general. That has been so helpful.
Yeah. And I'm so happy that I'm able to do that for you guys too, because it just relieves one area of stress on you guys, which you have a lot. But it just kind of, you know, allows you guys to let go of one area that you feel comfortable with. So that, you know, empowers me to just be like, okay, I got this. If I need, you know, reinforcements or whatnot or guidance, then I'll reach out to you. Because yeah, a lot of the times it's never a fun conversation to have if money is involved and if there's some kind of, you know, hardship or just, you know, things come up, like there's a medical bill that you weren't planning on, or someone loses their job or cut hours. And especially with everything going on since COVID, it's just a lot of things I feel like have changed in that aspect. So it's nice to have those people to talk through, and you guys are always so, you know, you don't want it to be about money. That's not the goal of this. It's literally, like you said, just to sustain the practice and keep it going, because you can't provide the quality of care that you want to without being able to sustain, you know, it's an ongoing thing. Like right now you're buying supplies for births that you're going to have months from now. It's not all about like, well, if you don't pay me, then it's your care being affected. It's the whole quality of the practice and all the families that you take care of that, you know, you're providing for all of them and your own family,
right?
All of it.
Yep, exactly. So I know we're starting to wind down on our time together, and being my amazing assistant, you had all the notes of the the more important things that we're going to talk on. So did we miss any big?
I think we actually got most of them. The other thing too that I realize is you guys, a lot of the times you don't have time to turn off. Like midwives, I mean, pretty much you're almost always on call. It's very rare that you're not. I've had the opportunity that four out of my six midwives since I've come into, you know, working with them have been able to take a vacation, like an actual honest to goodness. I know you're not one of them, and that's a problem. But four out of the six isn't bad. But they were actually able to take a real vacation, like off call, in another country, like vacation. And that is like the highlight of my job, like being able to give you that space and that opportunity. You need to make that work. But it's pre-planned, obviously. Like their vacation has to be like literally over 10 months in advance, because they don't take moms that are on call in a certain, you know, window. So they're having to turn away, you know, clients, possible clients, you know, refer them to one of their other fellow midwives. But they have to plan it literally like a year in advance, because they can't take anyone on call during that time. They will have their prenatal clients, but then they have their sister midwife, backup midwife. you know, just field any incoming things that might happen, any lab work they need to have done during that time, maybe like a standard prenatal visit just to check in. And it's nice too, because usually that midwife is part of their birth team a lot of the times too. So it's kind of a good opportunity to get to meet someone that might be at your birth, because the birth team is so small. It's usually 2-3 people max. So that has been such a blessing to be able to give them time to actually turn their phone off, to be able to go to sleep and actually like not be worried that they're missing a phone call, that they're going to be woken up by a phone call, all those things, that actually have scheduled time with their family that's uninterrupted is literally the highlight. So I've been so thankful that now 4 of them have been able to do like a vacation on their own, and you need to be next.
I know. So. I need to do a vacation, but in my own regard, I'm taking December off for surgery, and I will That's be doing true. The same thing. Like I'll still, so what other people don't also realize is even when we're off call, like you still need to get in touch with your midwife, because what if something happens unexpectedly and you need to call her at 3 a.m? So even if we're not on call for an actual birth, like we still have to always be within reach. We can't go an hour being away from our phone, because emergencies still happen, right? Someone still needs labs done, even if that's not an emergency, but we still have to be within reach. So that's an amazing blessing. I'm going to take my time off. I've got a midwife stepping in for, you know, those things. And so, although it's not a vacation, it's still a methodically planned time off in my own regard. Yep. So,
hopefully self-care at least.
Yeah. Self-care in regards to being on my butt, binge watching TV like the rest of the world does, or for me, my books, as you know. So it'll be my own form of self-care. Yeah, for sure.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much, Ashley. So for birth workers and midwives and even past clients that want to get in touch with you and see your beautiful face more regularly, what avenues do you use in regards to social media, website? What is a way for people to get in touch with you?
I'm very small. I don't have a website or anything, because I'm not like actively trying to get new clients all the time, because I don't want to take on more than I can. But I do have social media. I will share it maybe on your stories if people want to find it. It's just Mama Services. So stands for like my mama part of it. I am a mama, but it's midwife assistant. Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting what it's. I'm all fumbled now.
Mom brain at its finest.
Oh, mom brain at its finest. It stands for something. It stands for administrative assistant. I don't even know right now. But anyways, I just have social media basically. Okay. And then I just communicate with all you guys via email, text, all those things.
Perfect.
But yeah, if you just want to share my Instagram page on there, it's nothing too fancy. But
well, I love it. Instagram at Mama Services. Thank you so much time. Thank you so much for your time.
Now you've caught it.
Exactly. It was like a yawn. It was so contagious. Oh, great. All right, Ashley. Well, we will definitely be back to chat more things behind the scenes, but I appreciate you sharing everything you do, and I appreciate you doing everything you do. And
thank
you for all of our watchers and listeners, and we'll see you guys soon.
Thank you for joining me on this journey of growth, connection, and conscious living. If you found value in today's episode, share it with someone you love, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a moment. Follow me on Instagram at Gold Soul Midwifery and sign up for the newsletter to stay connected and in the loop. Until next time, stay grounded, keep growing, and remember, your gold soul shines brightest through the beautiful and messy moments of life.